All of you would be so kind as to stand. You probably received a one call about a very special service tonight. It is very special to me. As a result, I want the ushers to make sure that everybody's in here, that nobody's just milling around out in the lobby or over in an office someplace. Of course, I think we do have a nursery. The ladies in the nursery can stay there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, probably a lot of you were speculating all day what this was about. It's kind of a bittersweet time for me. I was, as you know, laid up a lot this year because of a bad back. Now, I never thought at any time that this was a life-threatening thing, you know. Never heard of anybody that died because of back trouble. But I do know that sometimes you can become, you could be laid up to the point that you can't perform well. I'm thankful that God has touched my back and that I am just doing so good with it. I'm not planning on going to the midwinter camp meeting because for me to drive over there takes an hour and 45 minutes and then another 15 or 20 minutes fellowship before and then sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours or more. Then fellowship and drive back. It's just too much. And I'm doing so good because I've been behaving myself and doing what my doctor says. Actually, I have a doctor in a clinic, one in the hospital, and then one in my house. And Dr. Darlene says, "No, you can't lift this up." And she was treating me so nice that I actually one time said, "Don't pray for me anymore to be healed. I like this treatment, you know." But the thing about it, we have such an outstanding staff, and what we are trying to accomplish here at Calvary Gospel Church, it's got to go on. Matthew 28:18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." Now, to preach the gospel to the whole world is responsibility of the whole church. We have a responsibility here to Madison and Dane County, and more specifically to, or on a broader scale, maybe I should say, to Southwest Wisconsin. And I want to make sure that we continue to do this. God bless you. You may be seated. This past year, I feel that I've really grown a lot spiritually because I had a lot of downtime. Just praying, seeking God, reading my Bible. But I began to give a lot of thought to my ministry. Now, I do not want to retire from pastoring, and I don't have any plans at this point to do that. I want you to know that. I still feel that my ministry, my life, my presence is still effective here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I like to think that it's needed. But I don't want to thank you. I don't want my position as senior pastor to become a bottleneck so that I am stopping influx of souls or a move of God. And there are certain things that I want to do before I leave this planet Earth. I've determined I'd like to do some writing. I've got at least 4 books. I've started on one already that I want to write. And I've had a good number of people that have encouraged me over the last, 30 years or so to do this. And I have a good number of people now that are willing to help me get started. When I say started, I'm talking about putting together the rough draft of it. And then some that have agreed to edit the book. And I really do appreciate this. Another thing I'd like to do, I'd like to continue to work in the area of finances, especially in the area of building funds, so that I'd like to see us put this building up, but I'm not wanting us to put up the building at the expense of being deep in debt. I don't think that's prudent to do that. We have divided our church up into several services, thus making more room for us in the auditorium here, and that's something that's it really, really helped us. At the same time, we have refocused, had many more meetings with our leaders. We want to keep the vision intact. Once you divide up like this, it is a big chore, actually, to keep everybody on the same page. The word vision simply means a plan or a dream. And we recently had, in the month of December, a good number of services in which we took and explained to everyone what the vision of Calvary Gospel Church is. And we don't plan on letting up. We plan on doing this until Jesus gets back here, takes us out. The word division or division, it simply means two visions. And that's all it takes for people to divide themselves. And the only difference between tension and contention is ego. Contention is, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, is that's when pride comes in. Where there's contention, there's always pride. And I could say that also about division, that where there is division or two visions, church has one vision, somebody else has another. Now, you may have a vision for your bus ministry or your campus ministry or your jail ministry or the CIP, but all of those visions have to work for the best, in the best interest of the major vision. So we don't want to see division, and we don't want to see contention. We want to continue to grow and be productive. However, for me to do what I'd like to do, and that is write, work on a stewardship plan to get our building up, and also to help in mentoring ministers, I'm going to need more time. I've reached a point in my ministry in which I feel that I need to step up another level. I would like to no longer have to pay careful attention to invoices that deal with paper towels and light bulbs and such like that. And also, people coming into the church, they always want to talk with the pastor, senior pastor. And I thought when we began to grow that I would continue to meet and counsel with the members of our church that have been here for years and point new ones to some of our new pastors or other pastors. But that hasn't worked so well. It worked well with the people who've been here for a long time. They seem to catch on and understand more than new ones coming in. It's usually the new ones that come in because most of the people attend a church with fewer people than we have or a different structure. And so they want to talk with the pastor. And to tell them no, you need to see somebody else is just almost impossible. Just last week, Brother Thomas took care of two calls. And both calls, they had to see the pastor. Talking about me. Don't want to see Pastor Roy, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Seidel, Pastor Phil. Got to see Pastor John Grant. Now, after looking at this situation, and after polling a good number of families in our congregation, more specifically leaders, I felt very comfortable then in approaching the board and talking to the board about this. And that is, I would like in our annual business meeting for a vote to be taken to elect my son, Pastor Roy, as a co-pastor with me. Now, I would not want to push him ahead of anybody else just for the sake of him being my son. The truth of the matter is, I guess maybe I've been a little bit more demanding of him than I have of other leaders in the church. But I do believe that Roy has earned the right to be considered, if I can use that term. Now, I would like to say this, though. I'm not interested in co-pastoring with anyone else other than him because this would put any other minister under a lot of stress and strain. Now, I don't fully understand it, but I'm told this all the time. We've even had missionaries that got nervous about coming here in the church and preaching behind this pulpit. They said, Pastor Grant, I could see you up there. I've seen you at camp meetings and places, and I just got nervous. And, you know, I'm just what I am, and that's it. And I never think anything about it. But I do know my personality, you know, is of such that I'm always right, you know. Like I just recently said, I told Sister Grant, we'll get along, hon. You have my permission, and you have the right to be wrong. So, you know. But I do think, though, to subject someone else to that particular position would be unfair to them. So I met with Roy, talked with Roy about it. That's after I talked with a good number of couples in the church. And then I met with the board. The board was in total agreement, unanimous vote, to bring a resolution to you tonight, not to vote on, but to inform you. And then we will vote on this resolution at our annual business meeting. Now, Brother Thompson, Brother Ben Thompson, representing our board, will come and read this resolution at this time. So, Brother Thompson, if you come and read this.
I hope it's okay if I just preface this. You've heard me say before what an exciting time this is in Calvary Gospel Church. But I also want to preface this by saying there are a handful. I don't know if, I hope you understand as church members what we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. There are a handful of men in the same group, the same caliber of character, of ministry, of respect in the United Pentecostal Church is our pastor. I know of a handful of myself that have impacted my life, men like J.T. Pugh, Charles Grisham, Brother T.F. Tenney, Brother John Grant is in that caliber of men. I hope you understand that. I remember as a young minister going to district conferences and just sectional. I remember being in a local church that was going through trouble when Pastor Grant came and ministered. His strength, his courage of who he is has made such an impact in my life. I'm sorry, I'm getting too emotional. But I'm so excited about, I kind of laughed when Pastor Grant said he feels led to take his ministry to a higher level. I turned to Brother Thomas at a higher level. I kind of want to see this. That must be like when Elijah and was translated, just caught up. I mean, there's Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. I don't know. But when I think about Pastor Grant, mentoring, writing, he needs to write some books. There's some books in him. There's some wisdom that he needs to pass on beyond the walls. Some people's ministry is bigger than one church. Pastor Grant is bigger. He has more influence. He has more respect. I hope you understand that. That said, the Calvary Gospel Church, not only Brother Grant, but the entire ministry team, I'm amazed at what goes in on a weekly basis to make this run, to make this work. Brother Thomas, Brother Seidel, just tremendous men of God, highly respected throughout the district. I mean, even other ministry leaders, Brother Hawk, what Jessica and Sister Thorpe did in the office before her, just on the day-to-day basis to make this work, to make this a success, are amazing. All the different ministry leaders. But there is one who has, if there's something going at Calvary Gospel Church, he's a driving force. Whether it's touched twice, whether it's whatever, his energy blows me away. He is just involved in everything. He's always here. Whether it's a construction project, but his passion for the church inspires me. So without further ado, January 23rd, 2013, Calvary Gospel Church board meeting. Motion made. Be it resolved that Calvary Gospel Church hold a vote on the question of electing Pastor Roy Grant to be co-pastor, serving along with Pastor John Grant Sr. until such a time as Pastor John Grant retires or is no longer able to fulfill the office of pastor, at which time the church shall hold an election to determine who shall be the next pastor, Pastor Roy Grant being given the primary consideration. Be it further resolved that the vote on the office of co-pastor shall be held at the 2013 annual church business meeting or a separate specially called church business meeting, which shall be preceded by an explanation of the vote to the church body in at least one regularly scheduled service and at least 3 days of registration and qualification of voting members. Qualification of church members shall be done in accordance with the local church government bylaws contained in the current manual of the United Pentecostal Church International. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Thompson, and thanks for all those kind words. Just to give you a little bit more information, you hear something like this, and sometimes you say, well, what does this mean? Basically, what we're doing is reading the resolution at our annual business meeting. Brother Putnam has agreed to be here. He can be here that night. Now, our regular business meeting may be abbreviated a little bit. Sister Jessica and Sister Amy Grinnell worked on some graphs and such to make the financial statement very informative and very interesting, but I think it'll also speed up the process. And then Brother Putnam will take the vote. Now, the vote will be for Pastor Roy to serve as co-pastor with me. Now, co-pastor with me doesn't mean that he's senior pastor. And if something happens to me, it doesn't mean he automatically takes that position over. It means that we will then have another business meeting in which we elect a senior pastor, but he would be given the primary consideration. That simply means before we would vote on anyone else other than Pastor Roy, he would either be voted in or he would be eliminated, and thus disqualifying him as being the pastor of the church. And the reason why this is necessary, well, one, I talked with Pastor Roy about it. I talked with the board about it. We were all in agreement that we would not want to pass a resolution and then vote on it this time, just saying that regardless of what happens, Pastor Roy will inherit the position. The position, according to our bylaws, has to become effective or official by vote. So another vote would be taken later. Now, I do feel that, you know, if he works, and he's worked here on the pastoral staff for a good number of years, and he continues, and if I decide to retire or become unable to perform or perhaps even pass away, then everything would continue as is until such a time that we could hold another business meeting for another vote. But the pastors would stay on staff just like they are now, and they would continue to operate with Pastor Roy's leadership until such a time that he would be voted in as senior pastor or eliminated from that vote. Now, the reason why I said that I feel that I would only want to co-pastor with one person, that is Roy, he'll be 51 years old in August, and he has been walking by me and by my side for 51 years. We've always been able to discover each other's thinking and settle our differences without a big conflict. I think that's very necessary. And while I wouldn't think that I'd have to pull rank on him ever because of his attitude and such, you have to understand that it'd just be kind of a normal fit for father-son. And most churches of our size do not shop for a pastor at random whenever there is a vacancy. Now, please understand, I'm not vacating being pastor. I'm still going to be the pastor. You're going to see me here as much, preaching as much, and it's just that during the office hours and such, I do want to spend a good bit more time doing what I feel that I need to do to take my ministry to a higher level and also take the growth of the church to a higher level. It's already been said by Brother Thompson. He did a good job explaining this. Pastor Roy has, you know, and we've got Pastor Thomas, Pastor Seidel, Pastor Phil now. All of these men do remarkable jobs And I got to tell you that we're all great speakers. Pastor Seidel, by the way, he's home sick, running a fever. He's sick. He's not here. I heard that this past Sunday that he preached such a remarkable message. What a great man of God. He's got a great future. I love Brother Seidel. I taught him home Bible studies when he first came to our church. And I love all of these men. Pastor Roy started out here at Calvary Gospel Church when he was just a kid. He worked with Sister Jan and Sister Grant on the bus route. He later on worked with our young people. He worked in CCA. He was a bus captain himself. He was a youth leader here. He is officially the head of all student ministries. Now, Brother Phil Demas is the student ministries pastor, but all of the works here at Calvary Gospel Church are under three pastors, myself and two associates, and that is Pastor Thomas and Pastor Roy. Now, if we go through with this, my plan is to make Pastor Seidel, appoint him as an associate pastor. He works with VOSIS. I would like to see him spend more time here at church. He only works part-time, but we have been able to raise his pay up, and he's been such a blessing to VOSIS, but he does a lot of work for Calvary Gospel Church, and I'd like to see us chip in and help him and raise his pay up. And then I would like to make Brother Phil Demas an assistant pastor. I think that this is just so necessary. Going back to Pastor Roy, you know, he's in charge of all special events, men's ministry, ministry placements, special events such as Touch Twice, our veteran service, Summer Fun Fest, this past year, our anniversary services, Family Crusades. He's also over the Kids Depot. Now, he's nothing like me. And I would hope that none of you would expect him to be like me, because I have told him repeatedly in some of the mentoring that I've done, son, don't try to walk in my footsteps. You've got to be your own man. You've got to work where you feel comfortable. Don't try to be like me. Don't try to fulfill my footsteps, my footprints. But I'll tell you one thing about him. You know, everything he does, he commits himself 110% to that job. There's nothing that he does that's only halfway done. He knows how to organize. One thing he has done, too, he's brought the level of our credibility up in our community. It's something that in the past that I didn't really see the value of. Around the turn of the century, the Lord began to talk with me about establishing a higher image in the community, working with community projects. And we've been able to do that. So we don't get much criticism anymore about being an isolated bunch of people that belong to a cult. You don't hear that anymore. Another thing, too, that since our credibility has been lifted in our community, you just don't hear people talking about our standard of holiness being so weird and so different. It just doesn't happen anymore. We hardly ever go any place what people don't come and say, oh, Pastor, our hat's off to you. Now, Pastor Roy has not done this altogether by himself. Brother Thomas has been very effective. Brother Thomas graduated from East High School. He was a class president there. He knows just about everybody. He recently held a funeral for a gentleman from East High, and he couldn't remember who he was. But the family contacted him and said, this man just really loved Brother Thomas, and so we want him to hold the funeral. Well, he was cremated, and I said, well, Brother Thomas, what are you going to do? He said, well, maybe when I see his ashes, I'll remember who it was. That's Rich Thomas for you, you know. Now, one thing that we need to do, and we will start this tonight after church. We started about 3 years ago trying to upgrade our what we call voting membership. Now, we have a unique situation here in that we have had so many people come to the Lord. Over 3,500 now since the turn of the century. And when Jessica and Sister Grant and those that helped them looked at the database, we had 5,000 names of people that we feel that say, I'm a member of Calvary Gospel Church. You may not see them unless they need a handout for rent or something, but they're still. So they set out to purge the membership roll. And when we say membership roll, we're not talking about voting membership roll. But they purged it down to 3,400. Now, you may say, that's a lot of people. Yes, it is. Where are they? Well, your guess would be as good as mine. But I will say this, because we're all split up and everything, a lot of these people come and pay tithing, and I don't even know who it is, and nobody knows who they are. But we try our best, all of our staff, that when we see people, to treat them as if they're one of us, because we have been embarrassed a few times by asking who they were, and they say, oh, I come here all the time, you don't know who I am? You know, and that's an embarrassing thing. So I wish that I could keep up with everybody, but I can't. But knowing that we have this many people that consider themselves to be members, we're going to take our bylaws and we're going to upgrade those, which calls for a membership voting roll. So when Brother Putnam comes, we will give him a list of the people who have been qualified to vote. Now, we'll have to get started on this right away. So Jessica Rivas will come at this time. She's going to read our bylaws and also read the Articles of Faith, and then I'll talk some more.
So first we'll be reading the Calvary Gospel Church Bylaws, Article 2, Section on Membership. Section 1, Eligibility. Anyone believing in and accepting the apostolic doctrine as set forth in our Articles of Faith is eligible to become a member of Calvary Gospel Church. Section 2, Obligations. As a member of the Assembly, each one must accept the following obligations: to cleanse oneself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Tobacco in any form is considered filthy. To conduct oneself everywhere as becometh a Christian. To endeavor to manifest a spirit of brotherly love and fellowship toward all of God's people. To forsake not attending services, as the manner of some is, according to Hebrews 10:25. To support the work of the assembly with one's prayers and financial aid as God prospers, according to Malachi 3:20 and 1 Corinthians 16:2. Anyone failing to cooperate with the tithing plan automatically forfeits his right of membership. To maintain family and secret devotion. To avoid all ungodly and worldly amusements. Not all amusements and recreations are harmful. That one may be blameless and harmless amidst an evil generation, and thus bringing no reproach upon the name of Christ. To abide by the bylaws of the assembly as prescribed in this form of local church government, as according to Titus 2, verses 1 through 8, and Hebrews 13:17. And finally, to secure in case of moving a letter of membership from the former church and unite with another church of the same faith as soon as possible. Section 3, regarding admission. Anyone who is eligible and accepts the foregoing obligations shall become a member of the assembly by registering his name and address with the pastor or secretary and receiving the right hand of fellowship from the church. No persons being a member of another church in our organization shall be received as a member into another assembly without a letter of membership. And finally, no person desiring to withdraw their membership shall be refused a letter of membership unless proven guilty of misconduct by confession or conviction. When said person has made satisfactory restitution to the church they are leaving, they shall be cleared of all foregoing matters and be ready to be accepted into the fellowship of a local United Pentecostal Church assembly. And reading from Article 5 regarding the business meetings, a business meeting of the church must be announced publicly in at least 3 services, the first announcement being 10 days prior to the meeting date. A majority vote of members present and voting at any business session shall be the deciding factor. And finally, the minimum age of a member voting in a local church business meeting shall be 16 years of age. And now reading from the Articles of Faith as taken from the United Pentecostal Church headquarters. We believe the Bible to be inspired of God, the infallible Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible is the only God-given authority which man possesses. Therefore, all doctrine, faith, hope, and all instruction for the church must be based upon and harmonized with the Bible. It is to be read and studied by all men everywhere and can only be understood by those who are anointed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 through 21. The basic and fundamental doctrine of this organization shall be the Bible standard of full salvation, which is repentance, baptism in water by immersion, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. We shall endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit until we all come into the unity of the faith. At the same time, admonishing all brethren that they shall not contend for their different views to the disunity of the body. We believe in the one true God, the Son of God. We believe in the beginning God created man. We believe the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We believe in repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name by immersion, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in divine healing. We believe in holiness of the inner man as well as the outer man. Godly living should characterize the life of every child of God. We understand that the Scripture teaches the restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Acts 3:21. We honor the right of our members to not bear arms if they choose. We believe that the only valid reason for divorce is unfaithfulness in a marriage. We believe tithing is God's financial plan to provide for his work. And we believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ.
And thank you so much, Sister Jessica. And we will have the Articles of Faith available for you in the lobby after service. She did not read. She abbreviated some of this. So you'll want to pick up, if you're not familiar with them, you'll want to pick up and take them home and read. Also, the applications will be out there. Now, you have to understand that we haven't done this in 40 years here at Calvary Gospel Church. It's been a long time. And concerning the membership roll, I checked before service, and I wasn't even on it. So I quick signed it, and Sister Grant signed hers. And we were asked to put the date in which we moved here, I moved here 1 month after Sister Grant. She says she moved here in July, and I moved in August. So, nevertheless. Now, you know, this business of voting and such, I would not want anyone that would be eliminated from a vote on this election to feel that they're not a part of us or that they're not wanted here. sometimes new people coming in, they haven't complied to everything. We understand that. We definitely understand that. But if you pick up an application and you pick up the Articles of Faith and you read them, you say, well, I'm not paying my tithing, then you really need to pray about this, but don't fill out an application then, because we will be checking this. You know, we have to do it. This is just part of the business. We have to do it. If you say you've been coming to church regularly and you haven't been, this is the time for you to be extremely honest. If you haven't been coming regularly, you need to recommit to becoming regular in, whether it be tithing or whatever. Because commitment is just the name of the game when it comes to Christianity. Now, I made mention that this was kind of a bittersweet thing for me, and in talking to some of our couples, you know, I cried and they cried, and I first started just talking to members of our leadership team and pastors and such, and I wanted to check out, see how credible Pastor Roy was, how much respect he had. One after one after one assured me that he was very well respected and received, but they all said, well, but Brother Grant, you're way up here above everybody. Well, I don't look at it like that. Please understand, I don't look at it like that, and I don't want Brother Thomas or Brother Seidel or Brother Demas or Brother Roy, I don't want them to feel that they have to do things the way that I do things. But I do know this, and, you know, I first thing I did was start thinking about larger churches and how they have changed pastors. Most churches our size, most of them can go 2 or 3 years without having a pastor. They don't have a plan intact. And usually the people scatter. When Brother Urshan went to headquarters, it was 3 years before they elected a pastor. He was having to go back and on the weekends and preach. And I think one reason why that they didn't, because they knew he'd come back, and they loved him and they wanted him to stay. You can understand that. But most churches our size, I said not most, I want to call your attention to some churches our size or near our size that the pastor co-pastored either with his son or son-in-law. We started on the west side of our district, Brother John Tenberg, who's now confined to a wheelchair, one of the greatest men of God I've ever known. His son-in-law, Paul Bennett, is now the pastor of the church and worked with Brother Tenberg. Brother John Soto, who pastored in Clintonville, did a marvelous work there, was losing his eyesight. He called his son, Brother Aaron Soto, off the evangelistic field, and John and Aaron pastored together. Of course, you're familiar with Brother Frank Tamil and Brother Tony Tamil, how they co-pastored till Brother Tamil actually was 80 years of age. Brother S.G. Norris up at St. Paul, when he gave up his position or he passed away, his son-in-law, Brother Gerald Grant, became the pastor and also the president of the college there. Brother Bill Calthorpe, who comes here almost every year from Illinois for vacation, he and his son Brent co-pastor the church there. Brother Ron Libby out in Maryland co-pastors with his son Sean. Brother Kenneth Haney, when he went to headquarters, his son Nathaniel. I remember going to Brother Fred Kinsey's church in Toledo years ago, probably 30 years ago. There was a young man there, his son-in-law, Mark Jordan. And I thought, and I met Brother Jordan, he was just nice and everything. But I didn't think he had much of a future there, but not only is he now the pastor, Brother Fred Ken just passed away, he's also the district superintendent of Ohio, a great, great man of God. Brother Gerald Mangan in Alexandria, his son Anthony came back and pastored with him and then later became the senior pastor. Brother Willard Barnett in Kenosha, his son Mark pastored with him, and now Brother Barnett is gone. Brother Mark is the pastor of the church and is doing so good. Brother B.H. McCoy, a personal friend of mine in Port Arthur, Texas, his son Darrell co-pastors with him. Brother J.T. Pugh that you all know, his son Terry co-pastored with him. Brother Pugh passed away, you know, a couple of years ago. And I was in Odessa. Oh, what a great church he has. In Longview, Texas, where my two sisters attend, Brother A.D. Spears is actually the bishop there, and Brother Charles Shargwell, his son-in-law, is pastor. The list goes on and on and on and on. And I got to tell you, I truthfully can say that if I've ever been depressed, I just don't remember. But I will say this, that when I begin to look at all of this and look at all these pastors and see that they're gone all of a sudden, the reality of it kind of hit me. That I'm 73 and I want to be alive and well and I want to be on the pastoral staff until I die. Now, I may not be senior pastor, but I'd like to be on the pastoral staff. But to know that you are contemplating the passing of a plan in which kind of signifies the beginning of the end. It's when you sit down and you think about it, you know. I had a rough year, but I've got a tremendously strong will. You know, and I don't know. I feel that the vision of CGC must continue. How long should it continue? Until Jesus comes. That's what it says. So I feel very comfortable in making this move. That is, if you feel comfortable in the election of Pastor Roy as a co-pastor with me, I promise you that I'll work as hard as I've ever worked, and Pastor Roy will work as hard as he's ever worked, and Sister Grant and Lois will form a team and do even more. And if we can help you in any way through this process, please take the liberty to talk with me. Like I say, you know, I told every couple I met with, I'm not soliciting your vote. This is a democratic process. Our organization says it should be that way. It's a little different, though, than the process that we have in our general Constitution, where every 2 years we vote on a district superintendent. Once a pastor voted on, he's never voted on again. But in this case, because Pastor Roy will not be fulfilling the job as senior pastor but co-pastor with me, then there would be a vote later on. But, you know, I thought this would be very difficult for me tonight. One of the most difficult nights I ever had was on a Sunday night after our son Steve passed away January 3rd, 2000. And I stood before the church and talked to them about Steve's passing away and assured the church that we're going to continue to be apostolic. And we're not going to change our doctrine. There's always a question when someone passes away, especially what Steve did, by committing suicide, which was a hard thing for his mother and me. We used to go over to the cemetery and weep, cry. I'd become most confused if I didn't have the Bible. But you see, I have the Bible. And I promised the Lord, when he called me to preach in 1962, I promised the Lord that I'd preach this until I died. And there may be a time in which I will not be able to be your pastor, your senior pastor, but I'll always have this preaching in me. I want to do this until I die. I want to show the way to lost souls. Also, I want to help people grow spiritually, become greater people. I promise the Lord that I'll hold people accountable to what the Bible says. It's only right that I expect of you what Jesus expects of you. Otherwise, I can't be your pastor. So I'm simply saying that take an application, look at the articles of faith, fill it out, get it back as soon as you can. We'll have other days. I think we're going to have some days in which the church will just be open. There'll be a table out there and someone there to assist you. But we want to make sure that everybody that's qualified as a voting member gets to fill out one, and we can make a long, long list. And on the night of February 21st, we'll have a full house of people. God bless you. I sure love you. Would you stand with me? The Bible. B-I-B-L-E. An acronym that stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. It's my book. I want to live by it. I'd become most confused. I'd wander around like a sheep without a shepherd, without this book. We may go through a transition. This, even with Pastor Roy, it may not be the last transition, but this one thing for sure. We're going to stick with the Bible. We want this church to be apostolic until the horns blow. Take this up. Lift your hands and worship the Lord as our praise singers come and close out. Would you do that? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Mashakara babariya mandolo mahusatakara babahataya. Now turn around and shake hands with someone near you and tell them how much you love them.